Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge. Across the globe, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And yes, I did check again today, as I do every day. It is Wednesday, otherwise known as Hump Day, May the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we crest the hump of the midweek. I know some people get the midweek blues, but let not your heart be troubled, for you are here with me right now in this very instant, in this moment of time where all is good and all is bright and everything will be all right. And no, I did not intend for that to be a rhyme. I'm a poet and didn't even know it. Folks, it is, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here speaking before you again today. And, if you would do me the honor of if you have something on your mind that, to add to the conversation that we're having this evening, give me a buzz or a call or a ring or a phone, whatever term that you use to dial the phone, at this toll-free number, 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. Now, if you do listen to this program in a replay in syndicated form, know that the program is live between 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and that at any time between those hours, you can give me a buzz at 603-835-3224, even if you cannot hear the show live, if you just have something on your mind. But, you know, hey, feel free to listen to the show over and over again on one of the many and growing number of syndicated networks across the interwebs. I don't know the difference between interweb and internet. I'm at a loss. I haven't looked it up. I'm sure if I Googled it, I'd probably be able to figure it out and find out exactly what that means. But I haven't, so I don't know at the moment. But maybe someday when I really think that I should know it or really want to know it, then I will just go ahead and find the answer. Isn't that wonderful how you can find an answer to something by simply just typing it into Google or Yahoo search or Bing search or what are the others? Ask a search. Didn't that used to be Jeeves, Ask Jeeves or something? Now it's just Ask. A lot of changes in the interwebs, if you will. And a lot of changes, period, with technology over the past few years. You know, the internet doesn't look anything. If a person, just for example, if a person were to, if they were to like be taken out of society, maybe they went to jail for something, like say back in 2008. Yeah, well, let's go a whole decade. 2005. Now, 2005, what was the big social media site? It was, I do believe at that time, it was MySpace. And you had to ask Jeeves, and you had Google, and things looked a lot different on the internet. YouTube, I think, was just getting started, so it wasn't really a huge thing yet. You know, Vimeo and some of the other video channels were not up. I think Instagram wasn't around, Pinterest wasn't around in 2005. I think the biggest, if you wanted to share your photos, it wasn't Instagram. I think it was PhotoBucket was the big thing. Right? It was PhotoBucket was a big photo file sharing network. There wasn't anything called Dropbox, or Evernote at the time. And I think people were still trying to figure out how to actually do that in 2005. Now you fast forward, you know, just a decade and look what all we got, all that's changed. You know, MySpace is struggling. They've rebranded themselves and they're struggling just to maintain a status quo of being in the top 20. It used to be the top, you know, social network, and now they're just struggling to stay in the top 20. But we've got all kinds of other things. You got LinkedIn is all of a sudden, you know, huge, and Twitter. 2005, there wasn't a Twitter either. I don't believe. Facebook was really at that particular point. It was still for college students. They hadn't yet gone. In 2005, they hadn't yet gone to their open platform system, and just anybody could join. Things constantly change, and you have to go along with you have to keep up with those changes, or you get left behind. And this is not just true in the internet or technology world, you know, high tech world. We didn't have, 2005, I think we were just getting iPods. It was just small things. And I think that, you know, there was the MP3 player was trying to be the competitor to iPod. I had an MP3 player. I didn't get it. I got a free MP3 player once, and you know how many songs this MP3, and this is how bad it was back then. I'd won a free MP3 player. MP3. It had enough storage capacity on it to hold 25 songs. I kid you not, 25 songs on an MP3 player. This is 2005, 2006. 25 songs, it was kind of useless, even back then, but today, there's no way in hell you're going to get an MP3 player with that's only going to hold 25 songs. It's going to hold, you know, 25 videos, at minimum, but it isn't going to hold just 25 songs. But, we didn't have, people weren't reading. There was no Kindle 2005. There was, you know, no ebooks. You know, Barnes & Noble and some of the other large bookstores were still going pretty strong. As a matter of fact, Amazon was, you know, just starting to build and go gangbusters in the used book business by bringing on outside sellers. So books, printed books, were still big and huge and growing. 2005. And now we have, you know, Borders is out of business. Barnes & Noble has been teetering for years now, just 10 years later. Even though the printed book is still king, ebooks have taken off. Yes, we had Netflix back in 2005. I have been a longtime Netflix subscriber. But they didn't have streaming. No. It was only disc. You had to get, you know, the plans were you got, you know, one disc at a time, DVDs. You got one DVD at a time. You got two or three or five DVDs at a time. And I often had the three. For the longest time, I had the three disc at a time plan. There was no Blu-ray. So it was just regular DVD. They really had no competitors because, you know, either you got Netflix or you went to Blockbuster Blockbuster was still around in 2005, or you had your local mom and pop shop. I think Hollywood Movies or Hollywood Video was also a big one, at the time. It was like behind Blockbuster number two or something. And now they're all gone. They're gone. And I want you to notice something. They're gone because of innovation. You know, now Amazon has a streaming service. And Walmart tried to get into the streaming service, and Netflix has a huge streaming service, and we've got other types of streaming types of things like Hulu. And now even HBO, you don't need cable to get HBO now. So things continue to change, and if you stick back in 2005, you're gonna get left behind. Now this is why I bring this up. None of this new innovation, first of all, came from government. Understand that. None of that came from government. That was all private sector. And all that private sector innovation, all it did was make everybody's lives, in this country at least, better. We thoroughly enjoy all of this new technology. Sure, you know, we may have to pay out a few more bucks for some of it now than we did back in 2005. But hey, it's all volunteer. If we didn't want to, we wouldn't have it. If we didn't want to pay for it, we wouldn't buy it. And if nobody wanted that type of service, then those companies would go out of business and they wouldn't exist. But people are paying for it willingly. Not just entertainment, but all kinds of things. You know, Dropbox. And sure, a lot of this stuff has a free side to it, like Dropbox and Evernote and things like that. But there are also paid sides to it that pay for all of the free stuff, too. And if people didn't see value in that, they wouldn't spend the extra money. None of that is government related. I don't know how many times I got to say that. But yet and still, we have these people in government who still act like this is 2005. Hell, they still act like this is still 1965. I mean, you got Bernie Sanders out there. Now, who was on Wolf Blitzer, by the way? I'm sorry. I do not know why Wolf Blitzer. He's like a Keith Olbermann, although not as crazy. He's not batshit crazy like Keith. But at the same time, you got it. Why the hell does Wolf Blitzer have a television program? Why is he getting paid six figures a year? Honestly, it blows my mind every time. Wolf Blitzer, yep, there he is. He's still on. Blows my mind. But he had Bernie Sanders on. And I don't, how old is he? He's like 78. I mean, good God. Bernie, just go and retire already. You know, go into the mountains of Vermont, become a hermit, and never be heard from again. And you know, when we find out that you've passed on, we will all stand up and applaud and wish you safe journey to the other side. I'm not trying to be morbid or mean, but come on, Bernie, really? He's going to take Bernie Sanders seriously. But anyway, Bernie Sanders, he's still thinking that, you know, this is, hey, communism is still a bona fide government system, right? It's, yeah, 1965, here we are. But Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders yesterday unveiled a plan to address income equality. That's all we hear is about this from the Democrats. Income equality. You know who some of the biggest inequalityers are? They're freaking Democrats. Who was it the other day that in the House that was complaining that $173,000 wasn't enough? Well, the average American doesn't earn $173,000 a year. But to him, you know, hey, Congress should earn more than that. Really? For doing what? I don't think most of you are worth what we're paying you now, quite frankly. But and then we have people like, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton. $30 million in a year for not even having a business, just giving freaking speeches. $30 million. And Bernie wants to come on to Wolf Blitzer and talk about income equality and how we're going to equalize income by taxing those on Wall Street. Now, you better hold on to your wallets, folks, because you can't tax Wall Street without taxing the middle class, meaning you and me. And I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, Rod, yeah, you can do it. No, you can't. Well, I'm not in Wall Street. Yeah, you probably are. If you have a pension fund or a 401k or a Roth or an IRA, you're probably invested in Wall Street. If you have mutual funds, you're in Wall Street. Do you know how many millions of Americans actually have a vested interest in Wall Street right now? And not to mention, again, from 2005 to today, you know, a lot of people have been able to set up their own types of investment account. Well, you got Scottrade, and you got the Orange account, and Share Builder. There's a bunch of different ones out there that allow you to be your own stockbroker, basically, for transaction fee of, you know, three, four, five, less than $10 for buying and selling stocks. And you get a transaction fee of less than $10. I mean, that's nothing. You could be a day trader on that. Yeah, in 2005, day trading was big. Day trading is not so big now. I know there are still people out there doing it, but you know, it's not done by a vast majority of people anymore. But you still have this type of person like Bernie Sanders who's still thinking 1965. Still thinking in terms of 2005. Oh, we have this huge income inequality. Well, there are people who earned a lot of money buying and trading stocks by sitting there for, you know, 6 hours a day watching their computer relentlessly making multiple trades. But Bernie wants to tax that kind of stuff. He wants to tax trading on Wall Street. He says he can address income equality by taxing Wall Street speculation and using the money to eliminate college tuition. Oh, here we go. Look, I just heard today that the president of Yale just got an $8 million lump sum bonus. The president of the Yale University, $8 million. But Bernie's over here saying, well, you know, we should tax these Wall Street speculators so we can make college tuition free for everybody. Now, look, college can already be free for a lot of people at a lot of private schools because they have these things called endowment funds. And yeah, I heard Yale's numbers today. Yale has an $18 billion endowment fund. Do you know what $18 billion, a small return in $18 billion, it means a lot of money, millions of dollars a year, which means there could be an awful lot of scholarships, you know, partial and full scholarships to Yale. Harvard's got a much bigger endowment fund than that. And yet Harvard still charges about, what, $63,000 a year. $60,000 a year to go to Harvard. And they have the United States private college largest endowment fund. And they still charge $60,000. But Bernie is, well, you know, college costs too much. Hey, Elizabeth Warren was making like $400,000 working for Harvard. Where's that income equality? She wasn't even, you know, well, let's face it, Harvard, you know, professors at most colleges, they're not teaching or involved in teaching 8 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week. They're not spending 40 or 50 hours in the classroom and in their office. Hell no. You think Elizabeth Warren was doing that for $400,000 a year? Come on. I mean, this is insanity that we want to tax people for making it an investment with money that's already been taxed. Now, understand, Bernie Sanders wants to tax Wall Street speculation, and these speculators, whether it depends on how he's going to define speculator, but understand that these speculators, they're investing and speculating with after-tax dollars, meaning they've already been taxed. They're using money that's been taxed. So Bernie wants to tax it again. You know, hey, it's called, you know, for all you folks out there who like this fair tax, you know, if you buy stuff, you pay a tax, you know, like a sales tax, you know, you'll pay for stuff with your taxes that way. Well, this is basically what Bernie says. Now, I've been telling people I was not for the fair tax. And I got to tell you, fair tax is nothing more than a socialistic taxation medium. And plain and simple. It's a socialistic idea because it will control your spending habits. And that's exactly what they want to do. If you know, hey, if we don't want you to be a speculator in the stock market, well, we're going to tax stock speculation. You know, every time that you buy and sell stocks, you're going to get taxed on it. Well, now you're not going to buy and sell stocks, at least not as often. So they're going to regulate through taxation your spending behavior. That's what the fair tax is. Oh, well, the fair tax will get rid of all the other taxes. No, it won't. It'll end up being nothing more than a national sales tax, which then will start determining how you spend your money. Okay, it's in Canada, 17%. You want to go spend 17% on top of the cost of your car? Add 17%. I mean, it's bad enough in some states where it's 5, 6, 7, 8%. But you toss on a national tax of 17% onto your local, your state sales tax, you're looking over 20% added to the cost of that car. Well, who's going to pay for that? The fair tax, when you start looking at it, is really not so fair. It's a socialistic a medium to control your spending. It control your behavior. Plain and simple, you know, it's just like, hey, we're gonna tax cigarettes, so people raise the tax so high that people don't want to pay the tax, so they quit smoking. Well, what's that doing? That's controlling your behavior. That's controlling your spending habits. Okay, well, let's, you know, we're talking about that we want to tax sugary soft drinks and sugary snacks. And it's going to be an entry, if they ever get their way, it's going to be an entry-level tax. You know, it's going to be small, you barely notice, and they're going to keep raising it until one day, you know, that dollar candy bar ends up being $1.50, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, it was worth $1, but it ain't worth $1.50. And then your spending habit is controlled. That's the whole goal. So it isn't about income equality. It's about control, folks. Don't let them try to sidestep the issue. It's about control. Yeah, the whole notion. Well, let's go ahead and pay for tuition. You know, let everybody go to college for free. Well, who's going to pay for it if nobody speculates anymore? It's kind of like the cigarette taxes, right? You know, they start rising and rising, and people stop smoking. Well, they were using the money to do a number of different things, you know, like pay for, you know, some states it was pay for uninsured children's health care. It was also used in some states to advertise, to make advertisements and promotions to get people to quit smoking. And as people bought fewer and fewer cigarettes, there was less money for the children, less money for the till for promoting anti-smoking. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, we got to raise taxes another place to make up for this. Don't doubt. It's about control, folks. It's plain and simple. And if they didn't get the money from one area, they're going to get it from another. So don't let them fool you. They haven't changed.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Senator from Vermont, He said it was time for candidates to do more than just talk about income inequality in general terms. How about getting the government out of the way so people can do for themselves without the government doing? Look, I love these memes that go around. Again, something new in 10 years later, 2015. There weren't many memes running around in 2005, as I recall. They definitely were not viral by any means. But this whole notion of income equality is nothing more than an excuse to try to do something called income and wealth redistribution. Is you got these memes that keep going around talking, well, people are only making, $36 a month on welfare. And I thought, I saw one today that said $36 a month. I'm like, I am so sick and tired of these misleading and lying, just flat out lying memes. And I responded to the meme saying, oh, wait a minute. Didn't Gwyneth Paltrow say that it was only $29? Which is it? Is it 29 or is it 36? Well, we know that both numbers are bogus. But yet and still, these people still do that. They still put these lies out there. And there are a number of people out there who believe it. Oh my goodness, it's so terrible. How can you eat on $35 or $36? Well, you know what? There are people that do that. They buy hundreds of dollars worth of groceries. They're called, extreme couponers. If you don't have any money, how about you do that? If you don't have any money or a job, maybe your job should be looking for a job, and maybe part of your job should be, acquiring the things that you need legally by paying and spending as little out of your own pocket as possible. Do something. Just don't sit there and wait for a government check. You got to make things happen on your own, or you're never going to get out of the situation that you're in. But this is where Mr. Sanders and people like of his ilk want us all. They want to determine how much money is okay for you and I to earn. Because now you're going to start talking about class warfare. By the way, folks, you can give us a call. Give me a call here at 603-835-3224. It's a toll-free number. But you have these people out there that want to determine how much you earn. And they want to tell you, hey, you know what? $75,000 a year, that's the limit. You make more than that. Or if you make $100,000 a year, you're now rich and you need to have a special tax on you. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that we have such a system where a person who earns $75,000 a year can actually, because of our tax code, can actually bring home less, keep less than somebody who makes $50,000 a year. This is not a joke, folks. We have this graduated income tax and other taxes that get tossed onto income that a person, if you just earn, if you go from, $74,995, then you're in one tax bracket. But you add $5 to that annual salary, and now you're in a different tax bracket, and you actually bring home less than the person who makes $75,000. You bring home less than the person who makes $74,995. And you don't make $5 less. You make hundreds of dollars less. So you're better off not taking that $5 a year raise. It's the truth. Look at the tax code. That's the way it's designed. It's designed that way on purpose. Because you have people like Mr. Sanders talking about income equality. And that the only way that you can level the playing field is by taking from somebody who's producing and earning and giving it to somebody who isn't. And now he wants to attack, other like Wall Street people. That's all we hear from the left is Wall Street, Wall Street, Wall Street is evil, Wall Street is bad, Wall Street is mean. And then when Wall Street says, well, we don't have any money, because, you know, you've taken it all or we've lost it. Oh, then all of a sudden, you know, because then they're greedy. They don't want to share, but you've taxed them to death. No, you're not giving enough. Really? Well, how much did you give? You know, I always ask that of liberals when they start talking about, you know, helping the poor and the downtrodden. How much have you given to causes that help the poor and the needy? And I'm rarely disappointed and shocked by the amount or by their answers. Well, that's a private matter. Oh, yeah, nothing. So you're very generous with other people's money, just not your own. And if you look at a lot of liberals, with financial means, a lot of them they're the same. Unless they are shamed into giving, they do not give on their own. Look at Vice President Biden. You know, until it was known that he was giving like less than 1% of his income, the man didn't budge from it. And then he became vice president. Oh, yeah, well, Biden only gives about 1% of his income every year. And then he upped it. He's probably, he's like, I got it now. You know, in other words, as long as everything is a secret, you don't look like a hypocrite. But you really are a hypocrite. No way around it, plain and simple. If you don't give out of your own heart without being, shamed into doing it, you're a hypocrite. Plain and simple. I don't know how else to say it, really. I don't want to say it any other way. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So he said, what we need to do is be very specific about what we're going to do about it, income equality. What we need to do is create millions of decent paying jobs by rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. Well, Mr. Sanders, we've spent trillions of dollars doing that. You know, it's called stimulus, son of stimulus, grandson of stimulus. We've spent, all these shovel-ready jobs that turned out to be not shovel-ready after all. Oh, we were already, as much money as we spent on infrastructure already. We should have a pristine infrastructure system. At least half of it should be pristine. And from what I understand, none of it is pristine. I know they're talking about, roads. Yeah, a road is going to create a job? It might create a government job because, the government, they have to hire somebody to take care of the road, right? But wait, we already have a bunch of roads that the government doesn't take care of. So how is having another road going to increase the economy and create jobs? It's not. But hey, when you talk about the private sector, the construction job, it's going to create jobs. The pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, it's infrastructure, right? Pay attention to this, folks, because this is how hypocritical and stupid the left is. Now, you got Bernie Sanders and his ilk out there on the left saying that we need to invest in infrastructure. In other words, government needs to spend the money. And investing in infrastructure will create jobs. And all the left out there are saying, yeah, we need to tax more, tax these people to get to pay their fair share so we can invest in infrastructure because it'll create millions and millions of jobs, right? Yeah, absolutely. And then you get the Keystone Pipeline, which is all privately funded. Oh, that ain't going to create any jobs. Oh, that's going to create 10 jobs. That's not going to... What? It's infrastructure. You're telling me that the government can spend money on infrastructure, spend more than a private company for the exact same thing, but the government is going to create thousands and thousands of jobs off that infrastructure, but a private company is not? Who's going to do it faster, better, and under budget, but they're not going to create any jobs? I kid you not, I've heard... You go to social media, folks, and you hear all kinds of really ridiculously low numbers. The Keystone, I heard somebody, not heard, but I saw somebody say, yeah, and they tried to give facts on it. you know, by giving links, that the Keystone Pipeline, when all is said and done, would only create 10 permanent jobs. I was flabbergasted. I asked, do you really believe that? We're talking a pipeline thousands of miles long, and it's only going to create 10 permanent new jobs. What world do you live in? But we can go and spend, you know, $50 million by rebuilding 10 miles of a highway, and that's going to create hundreds of jobs, we're told. Wait, so a 1,000-mile pipeline that is going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to build is only going to create 10 permanent jobs to maintain it. But a road, you know, a 10-mile stretch of highway, that's going to cost about $50 million or whatever to rebuild, is going to create hundreds of jobs. Well, what happens when the road is completed? And it's how many permanent jobs is that road going to create when it's completed? It's not even 10. So you're saying that, yeah, it's a bad idea to build the Keystone Pipeline because all those construction jobs that the pipeline is going to create is going to go away. But it's a good idea to build a new road because it's going to create hundreds of construction jobs. But it's going to create no permanent jobs when it's done. But yet they want to talk about income equality and taxing the rich so they can go and redistribute it, right? You know, these people need to be defeated. They need to be defeated soundly. Because this type of arrogance, this type of ignorance, this kind of stupidity is dangerous for any country, not just the United States. You know, I don't care if they're in Canada, if this type of stupidity is in Canada, if it's in Mexico, if it's in, you know, England, or if it's in France or Russia. It's dangerous no matter where you are. Because all it does is create a class system, a class warfare system, a system where people cannot move by their own work, by their own ideas, by their own motivation. They will not be able to move from one economic level to another freely because the government is going to slap them down every time they try. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all about control. All about control. Hey, yeah, I got something here that I wanted to do for a friend of mine. And it's for Freedom in America Radio. Now, Freedom in America Radio, they're one of the networks that this program is syndicated through. And he's the owner and founder and owner of the Freedom in America Radio is a big fan of this program. And he's, you know, if you really should, you know, freedominamericaradio.com, I do believe it is. You know, check him out on Facebook. He's got some good hosts, good programs over there that I'm sure that you will enjoy. And he's got good taste, obviously, because he has my show over on his network. So he has good, he has impeccable taste. but there was something that was created especially for him. And I want to debut it here on the Rod Eccles Show for Freedom in America Network. Now, you know, I'm not going to say anything more about it. I'm just going to, here it is. Just give a listen, folks.
Hi, folks. This is Barack Obama, President of the United States of America. And I'm coming to you from some cavern somewhere that keeps me safe. Folks, listen to me. You all know that I own the mainstream news media. That's right. I have them in my pocket. And they broadcast whatever my administration and I tell them to broadcast. Now, as the president, I have to know the real news, you know, what's really happening in the world. So I listen to the Freedom America Radio Network at freedominamericaradio.com. So I know what is really what's really happening in America, the land that I hate, the land that I love and don't want to destroy. So I'm going to make an executive order so that no one else can listen to Freedom America Radio Network. And so I'm telling you, don't listen to Freedom in America Radio. This is Barack Obama, and I approve this act.
And there you have it. Freedom in America Radio Network. You want to go over there and give them a listen. Test out their programs, their shows. Go over to their Facebook page, like their page. Just say hello to Billy. Tell Billy that I sent you. And he's the founder and owner of the network, and it's a real digital radio station. It's 24/7, 365. You know, it's real, folks. It's real. And he's a wonderful person, a wonderful man, a great patriot. And I don't actually get to talk to him as often as I probably should or I'd like to, but he's a really good guy. And he's got a good network. So give it a listen over there. And you'll probably get to hear Barack Obama over there a lot more. Because I don't particularly like playing Barack over here, because Barack, he gets on my nerves. But over there, you know, they have a secret. I understand they have a secret microphone planted in the White House, so you might hear a bunch of Barack stuff over there. I'm just giving you the heads up on that kind of stuff. Here's something from Newsmax. 31 million left uninsured by high healthcare costs. So says a report. Now, I thought everybody was going to what is the reason for Obamacare if we still have and you know that it's more than 31 million. So what, I mean, before they remember when they said that there's 40 million people, you know, 37 to 50 million people in this country that are uninsured. Now, forget the fact that many of them, you know, they chose not to have insurance or they were also including people that didn't have the kind of insurance that they thought that they should have. I was one of them. I used to have something called a major medical plan. Well, major medical plans are now pretty much, for most of us in this country, are illegal. Can't get them. But I like mine. You know, hey, you know, you can, if you like your plan, you can keep it. You like your doctor, you can keep them. Well, I like my plan, couldn't keep it. And therefore, you know, the doctors, no, I don't know. I don't think I have a doctor anymore. In fact, I don't, because my primary care physician that I had for about 10 years, he no longer practiced medicine. He's out. So no, I didn't get to keep my doctor. But now, you know, we fast forward a few years after this law was, you know, jammed down our throats in the dark of night, and we still have 31 million plus people underinsured and uninsured by high healthcare costs. Remember, this was supposed to be healthcare was supposed to be the insurance costs was supposed to drop. Remember, the cost of it was supposed to be a lot more affordable. In the end, it's become less affordable for a multitude of families and individuals, but they got to have it, or else, you know, they're going to get fined, and those fines at some point are going to turn into heavier fines, and those heavier fines are going to eventually turn into jail time. You better believe me, folks. Roughly one quarter of people with health insurance are paying deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses that are so high they are considered underinsured, a new study has found. Now, the 2014 National Health Insurance Survey by the Commonwealth Fund estimates that 31 million plus insured people are not sufficiently protected against high healthcare costs. A figure that has doubled since 2003. Oh, I guess that's the kind of change that they're talking about here, folks. Yeah, this is the kind of change that Obama was talking about. Having your costs double for something that if they would have left it alone, it wouldn't have been doubled. No, but they had to go ahead and tinker with it and demand it and order it and make it a law and say, you got to have this, this, and this, whether you need it or want it or not, whether you can afford it or not, because it's going to be good for you. Remember, this government's, they're just looking out for you. You know, that's the whole reason behind you know, forcing you to wear seatbelts. It's the reason, you know, they don't want you to eat sugary food, snacks, and drink sugary soft drinks. The reason why they don't want you to smoke. It's the reason why they don't want you to be rich. Why they want to tax if you want to be rich. Because, you know, the government knows what's best for you. And they know it's not best for you to be wealthy. It's not best for you to decide what type of health care, that health insurance that you want. Or even if you want it. Oh, no. You got it. You're responsible for it. Oh, forget the fact that, you know, I can pay my own bills. But no. You got to have it. Because, hey, after all, not even if you can't afford to go to the hospital on your own, not everybody can do it. And that's being selfish on your part, not being willing to pay for somebody else who can't afford to pay for their health care. Oh, yeah. You got to be fair. We got to be equal here. And just because you can afford it doesn't mean that your neighbor can afford it. And if your neighbor can't afford it, it's unfair that you're not contributing to pay for your neighbor. Well, I thought my neighbor had a job. Well, your neighbor does have a job. Well, then my neighbor can pay for his own health care. No. You know, because you have a Cadillac plan. Well, no, I don't. It's called a major medical, and I pay for it out of my own pocket. Oh, that's not fair. Because your neighbor doesn't have it. Well, he could get it if he wanted to, but your neighbor doesn't have it. Well, he can get it if he wanted it, but your neighbor doesn't have it. So we got to be fair. And this is fair, I guess. Doubling your healthcare cost. That's fair. Because evidently, you know, it's unfair for you to have low cost health insurance. That's unfair. It's, in order to be fair, you know, you got to double it, Jack. Now, the report said that rising deductibles is the biggest problem for those considered underinsured, even with the advent of Obamacare. Well, it's not even with the advent. It's because of the advent of Obamacare that these deductibles have gone a sky high. You hear it all the time. People saying, yeah, you know, I had a $500 deductible, but then we couldn't keep our old insurance plan like the president promised. And now I find not only has my premium every month gone from, you know, $400 to $700 a month, but my deductible has gone from $500 to $2,000. And there are similar stories like that all over the country. Not only has their monthly premium gone up, but so has their deductible. So more money is coming out of their pocket every which way they look. But that's fair, according to Obama, Pelosi, Reid, and Bernie Sanders. Because it's unfair for you to not have the same type of policy or plan that your neighbor has. You know, even though your neighbor could have gone out and gotten something better if he wanted it, or could have gotten something less expensive if he wanted it, but he didn't have it, and that's not fair. Look, folks, this whole notion of fairness, it's going to kill us. Literally now, with Obama, fairness is going to kill you in the hospital. I'm telling you, folks, don't doubt me.